get into the Word of God here, I'd just like to mention one more time, just reminding you that Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we'll be doing our PowerPoint presentation on the signs of the prophetic times. So if you can be here, that'd be wonderful. If not, you'll get a copy of it later, I'm sure. It'll be on DVD disc, and we're looking forward to doing that, the Lord willing, and I believe He is. So what we're going to do right now is sing a chorus as we go into Isaiah chapter 28 and hear a message called The End Time Christian. The End Time Christian. But we're going to sing a chorus first, and I'd like to keep on walking by faith, so let's sing that together. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. One more time. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Give the Lord a hand praise today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We're calling this message today the End Time Christian. Before I attempt to do anything, I would like to ask for the Lord's help. I'm very much aware of the fact that without Him we can do nothing. And I know I can't, and I know that none of us can hear. So we need His touch so that we can hear and that His Word would come forth. Dear Father in heaven, once again we approach Thy throne, O Lord, not as a formality, not as a ritual, but from the depth of the heart, asking that Thou wouldst help us right now. Because we are in great need of Thee, O Lord. This world is crumbling all around us and nothing is stable anymore. But, O Lord, we are in the palm of Thy hand. And, O Lord, I know Thou hast rescued us from many, many perils. Now we thank Thee, O God, for that, and we ask that Thou wouldst be with us as we go into Thy Word. Help us to treasure Thy Word in our hearts and to be obedient to it, O God, with Thy help. We look to Thee now as the author, but also the finisher of our faith. Guide us and direct us, O Lord, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus, and we give Thee the glory for it. Let Satan be driven out. Let him have no ability to interfere at all in any way or with any hindrance. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the title may seem a little strange when you think about it, the End Time Christian. Aren't all Christians alike of all ages? Well, I'll tell you something. First of all, the word Christian means Christ-like, and that's a tough order. That takes constant guidance by the Holy Ghost. You know, we need the Holy Ghost. Did you know that? And we need to be guided by the Spirit of God at all times. There are many, many churches that have risen up that call themselves Christian, and all of them are presenting some kind of a Jesus. Of course, right now there's a whole lot of attention being given to Barack Obama, but as some kind of a Messiah who's going to fix everything, and he supposedly is going to get us all together. And of course, what they have done now is they have this unity with Hillary. He's standing with Hillary all the time. Oh, this is my beloved, you know, companion and all this. And, you know, if he picks her for vice president, I think he better put mirrors on his shoulders and watch his back all the time, because she wouldn't think twice about offing him in a New York minute. But they're doing this to unify the party. And, of course, they'd like to unify the world and unify everything, because then you can have a one-world religion, one-world government, one-world army, one-world navy, one-world everything, and that can happen so quickly without you even realizing that it happened. But we are in a very, very serious time right now, and if you look back in all of history, you'll see that God has always had a people. He's always had a remnant. That remnant was always challenged. That remnant was always in a hostile environment of some kind, with enemies ready to attack, to entice, with lies, deceits, temptations of every kind. And we know, of course, that the flesh has an affinity to the world. We have three big enemies in our lives: the devil, the world, and our own flesh. And somehow we have to turn aside from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and serve God. And by His Spirit, that is possible. Amen. Amen. All of our own righteousness is as filthy rags. Every one of us here are dirty, rotten, filthy sinners saved by the grace of God. If you are saved, come on. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We understand that we need the shepherd. He went through a lot to find us. Remember, He left the 99 and went looking for that one that was lost? Consider yourself that one that He went looking for. Come on. What does the Bible tell us? Oh, that beautiful chapter in Isaiah. Not the one where they're all beautiful, but this particular one I'm thinking of right now. I am found of them that sought me not. The Lord went looking for us. Isn't that great? Jesus. That's His very nature. He does love us. He does care for us. It may not seem that way sometimes, but that's only your fleshly imagination. Our God's love is constant for us, and He's constantly drawing us and leading us and pulling us ever closer to Him. Glory to His holy name. Amen. The end time Christian is different than all other Christians. You know, we think of end time, we look at the people that lived in the world in the days of before the flood. And by the time the flood came, there were 8 people left that were walking in obedience to God. Now, you might say, well, yeah, so there were 8 people who were perfect. No, there weren't any. You see, Noah, it tells us God looked at all the sin of the world, and every thought of the imagination of the heart was only evil continually, such as it is today. But it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Do you know what grace is? It is undeserved love. Noah wasn't chosen because of his state of perfection, but because he was moved with fear. He believed God, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Do you believe God today? You see? And Noah found grace. That means he wasn't perfect. I've never met anybody who was. You want to try an experiment sometime? Stand in front of the mirror when you go home. Look at yourself and say, I am perfect. I am a saint. And see how hollow that sounds. Now, we're striving to do what is right. There are many, many pitfalls in this world. You know, there are sins of commission, there are sins of omission. You know, doing things you shouldn't do and not doing things you should do. You see why we need the Holy Ghost? Can anybody here say, I pray enough? How much is enough? You know, sometimes people have asked me, how long should I pray? And I tell them, until you don't want to stop. When you don't want to stop, then that's a good sign you've gotten through. Something to think about, just a thought. But you know, the latter day people in the days of the flood, Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, their wives, there were 8 saved by water. 8 saved by water. Of course, the Bible says the like figure, Peter said this, wherefore baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Now, you don't get saved by being dunked in water. You get wet. But what we're saved by is the name of Jesus Christ, the application of the power of God. The Bible talks about it in Colossians chapter 2, that baptism has replaced circumcision. In Colossians chapter 2, you can read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. I got extra Bibles I'll hand out if you want to read about it. Now, what the Bible is saying there is, it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. How do you get the answer of a good conscience toward God? By repenting, turning away from sin, going down in the water, and a burial in Jesus' name. You see, it's faith in the operation of God. It tells us in the same context in Colossians chapter 2. It's God's operation. Some people say, that's just the work of man. You know, I feel sorry. I don't know if they feel sorry for him. Are they that dumb? You know, I'll tell you, if the blind lead the blind, where do they end up? Somebody better tell the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. God calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light, and in the light of God, we understand that we must repent and turn away from sin and go down in the water in Jesus' name. That's a burial. That's part of the gospel. And be filled with the Holy Ghost. We do not strive to have a casual acquaintance with Jesus, perhaps call on Him when we get in trouble. No, we've got to have a close walk with God at all times. And we can do that. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In all of our trials, in all of our troubles, in all of our sorrows, He's with us. Amen. And He produces an undercurrent of joy no matter what goes on in your life. And all you have to do is reach in there and take hold of it. Now, we know that in the days of Lot, everything was so perverted and immoral, terrible. And God brought Lot and his wife and two of his daughters went out with him. His wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. That's not a fairy tale, that's scripture. That happened. And Jesus referred to the incident and said, "Look not behind thee, remember Lot's wife." There's nothing to look back to. There's nothing behind you but sin and shame and degradation and things you'd like to forget. I think that's true of us all if we're honest. I know one woman, Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's late wife, made the statement that she can't remember a time when she ever was a sinner. I can. Can you? Where's the conversion then, you see? What did Jesus do? You know, people, they wear those little bracelets, what would Jesus do? And they have a little, what would Jesus do? They should be looking at what He did do. Come on. You know, a lot of these little gimmicks that are attributed to Jesus and pictures that they have and all these different gadgets and things, don't be surprised to find out that all of those are really attributed to a future Antichrist. People are out there are going to look at Him as the Savior. We won't, because He's revealed to us. He's not revealed to them. Have you ever read that in the Scripture? The Antichrist is revealed, shown to us, and we see Him for what He is, but the world sees some other kind of a Savior. They don't see Him as a bad thing, but we do. You know, they're talking about all this microchipping and RFID, radio frequency identification, and so forth. There's an article at Reuters News, I believe it was Reuters, just put it out. They're having all kinds of trouble with those in hospitals because they're starting to use them now, and the RFIDs are sending off this radio signal, and it's shutting down their equipment, their IV equipment, all that electronic stuff. It's interfering with all their gadgetry, you know, monitors and everything, making them all go haywire. They weren't counting on that. See, it isn't all just honey and roses in their path. They're going to run into a lot of trouble, and they are. Praise the Lord. I think it's time for people everywhere to wake up. You know, over in California, Now they've got this warning out, the smoke advisory, and I saw a picture of Los Angeles. Now these fires are way to the north. Now I want you to think about this. I don't want to just throw numbers out at you. Think about this. 1,000 separate fires in Northern California. 1,000 of them. Most of them caused by, if not all of them, caused by lightning strikes. Many times from a clear blue sky. How many lightning strikes? They have recorded 8,000 lightning strikes in the past 10 days. 8,000! Now, meteorologists will tell you, yes, it's possible for lightning to come out of a clear blue sky. It's very rare. Very rare. But it can happen. If you build up enough of a charge, and the air is wet enough above, but not enough so that it would the temperature differential to form clouds, and then you've got a charge built up on the earth, yeah, lightning can come down, but that's an extremely rare thing. How about 8,000 of those? Is that fire from heaven? No, they'd never admit it, would they? But let's give the glory to God. And in Los Angeles, in the daytime, it looks like night. The smoke is so thick, it moves south from Northern California, and it is so thick, it looks like a dense fog of darkness. Pillars of smoke? Not only pillars of smoke, but they dissipate, go out, and form large layers of smoke covering that state. Oh, there are many, many other such-like things. But they're running into a lot of trouble as they try to put this thing together. You know, the Bible says there's no rest for the wicked. There's no rest for the heathen at all. But they're like a churning, bubbling sea, churning up mud all the time. And it's going to get real interesting as time progresses. Do you realize in about 4 months, is it? Let's see, we're at the end of June now. July, August, September. Yep, a little over 4 months, we'll have a new president-elect. And it doesn't look very good, because no matter who wins, we lose, if you put yourself in that realm and that arena. Thank God Jesus said we're in the world, but we're not of it. And that's good. Let's look at the end time Christian. You know, I was saying a little while ago that the end time Christian, that's our title today, is different from any other era for a number of reasons. Christianity today, as you look around you, all the things that claim to be Christian, the organizations and churches and so forth, are not Christ-like at all. They don't do what He said to do. And it's quite astounding, quite amazing, that people are so readily accepting what is handed to them. I think it's incumbent on all of us to question what we hear the majority of people saying out there. And of course, Obama is saying, oh yes, I'm a Christian. But at the same time, he'll stand up and say, this is not a Christian nation. Well, if he claims to be a Christian, and this is not a Christian nation, and then he goes on to say, this is a Buddhist nation, this is a Muslim nation, this is a Hindu nation, this is a nation of non-believers. He lists this big, long list. And see, his problem is, he wants to be all of those things. He wants to be something for everybody. He wants to have it every way. That's called universalism, and that's the basis of the doctrine of Antichrist. The devil will give you any way to keep you off the one way. It's been said that the devil will treat you so many ways, you're bound to like one of them. And I think that's what's going on in the world today. The end time Christian is different because the sin and evil and deception out there is not only proliferated throughout the entire world, but it's high tech. There are all these gadgets of technology, computers and iPods and And I don't even know what an iPod is. It's some kind of a little device that works with a computer or like one. That's all I want to know about it. All these different, you look at the cell phones, for an example. Now there's quite conclusive evidence that the cell phone signals are killing all of these bees all over the country. That the frequency from the cell phones are killing the bees. And they are dying off rapidly. See, man paints himself into a corner. Man's devices will always destroy him. If you forget God, you've had it. Thankfully for his people, you know what happens to us if we make a wrong turn somewhere? The Lord gets all over us about it. And that means you're a true son or daughter. Because he's correcting you then. We're not supposed to despise that, are we? What happens to a world who is constantly insulting God, day after day, week after week, month after month, using their strength and ability to come against the Lord in every way? Well, there's nothing really left but judgment. And it will surely come. Now, the end-time Christian is living in the most hostile environment of all time. It's strange out there. You can talk to people and ask them if they're saved. Just about all of them will tell you, sure. You know, nobody told them they were, but they assume that everybody goes to heaven. Hell's empty. They all go there. It was Billy Graham, I think, who said, this goes back a little while when Frank Sinatra died, that now he's singing, entertaining the Lord there up in heaven. What's he singing up there? I did it my way. Huh? New York, New York. Right. Or Elvis. Billy Graham said when he dies, he can't wait to see Elvis when he gets up to heaven. He wants to see Elvis. Elvis. Viva Las Vegas. Huh? One place he's singing, crying in the chapel, and then he goes off to one of these wild hunk-a-hunk of burning love thing. Come on! But people, they look at the one part of it, oh, he's a Christian. Oh, he's a Christian. Come on! Think about it. The end-time Christian is different because it is the end of time. Evil men and seducers have waxed worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And they're forcing the issue. We can read all about the end-time Christian in the book of Revelation and the challenges that do face us, which means we had better be strong in the Lord, and we can be. Let's look at the world as it was back in the days of Isaiah. Israel as a microcosm, but really you could look at the whole world this way, especially right now. He starts out in Isaiah 28 with these words. Woe to the crown of pride! I'll come back to that thought. To the drunkards of Ephraim, might as well say America, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. Are we a fading flower here? Remember the American beauty rose? It's wilted. Do you realize how bad a shape we're in this country? Now they're saying that they're having trouble. They've been examining the banks, and the banks are full of fraud. What else is new? Examine anything. Was that news to you? They started looking at Wachovia Bank down in North Carolina. They said, oh, all these fraudulent practices. And they just, fraud start to finish. They're just corrupt. They're a bunch of thugs, you know. They didn't quite say it that way, but basically that's what it amounts to. The whole banking system is full of fraud. See, when you go and open a checking account at the bank, and they have you sign that little card. Did you ever notice on the bottom, There is this print so fine that a gnat couldn't read it. Fine print. On the bottom of the card that you sign, what you're doing is you're signing away all of your rights as a United States citizen under the Uniform Commercial Code. That if the government, the IRS, deems that you are in some type of activity you shouldn't be in, or whatever, they got all kinds of little words in there, that you forfeit any right to your account. And, in effect, you're giving up your rights as a citizen of the United States. Now, how many bankers ever told you that and read that to you? Are you willing to give up all of your rights as a citizen of the United States for this checking account so you can use our system? Now, if you really wanted to, if you go to court, you could say, well, I didn't know that. Nobody told me that. And I hadn't read that. And I've known of some cases where they actually said, okay, then, you know, we'll let you out of that system, but don't ever try and use it again. No, it's really locked in quite tightly. But they said, yeah, all the banking system is operating in fraudulent practices. Should we go to the insurance companies and see how they operate? Or the pharmaceutical companies? See how they operate. And see, all of these entities, anything from education to religion, any enterprise of man, we don't have much of an industrial base anymore. In fact, even our farming is being outsourced to Mexico. These corporations have bought up all these farms in our country, and the land is sitting there because they are farming in Mexico. Even the good old dill pickle that used to be growing and made from cucumbers in Washington and Oregon. And you can look on the back of the jar. You might get the same brand you've always been buying. Look on the back of the jar. It's likely to say product of India. Because the growers in Oregon and California, or Oregon, Northern California, and Washington, who grew the best cucumbers in the world, really, received letters from these companies that processed them and packaged them and so forth and said, we don't need your cucumbers anymore. We're getting ready-made pickles from India. And then they just repackage them in jars, and very convenient. People in India work for a dollar a week. Somebody's making a lot of money. We all know it. You know, they'll tell you, the economy is great, but where are the jobs? Why are so many people out of work? You know why they're saying the economy is great? The big corporations have outsourced everything for cheap labor, and they're making billions of dollars while you walk the streets. That's how it works. So for them, it's great. It's always for them. We don't have a Justice Department. We have a Just Us Department. It's just us. That's the way it is at the end time. End time Christians are finding a very, very deceptive and hostile environment to live in. And we're tested constantly. But notice here, it talks about a nation that is a fading flower. I'm still on verse 1. You didn't know all that was in verse 1, did you? It says, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Now, it doesn't mean they're just all a bunch of winos. Although many of them are, those in leadership capacities. They get high on cocaine, they get high on alcohol, drugs of every kind. Oh yeah, I've got that picture somewhere, I need to pull that out. It shows Nasty Pelosi, and Harry Reid, who is a dyed-in-the-wool deadhead, literally a worshiper of the Grateful Dead. And he's got posters in his bathroom of the Grateful Dead. Well, anyway, I've got that picture of that glass table in this big conference room in the Capitol building. And you can look, and this was from Time magazine. You can look on the corner of that table, and there are lines of white powder. It's like a little ridge of white powder with a line going right through it. You know how they do a few lines, they call it, when they do cocaine? You know, and all of a sudden, they get buzzed. That powder wasn't from powdered sugar donuts, I guarantee you that right now. There are lines going right through there where they plowed a little furrow with their little glass straw going right through there. And they get all buzzed and then they have their meetings. And how to take everybody for a ride somehow. These are hostile times, folks. What would some of these older, more astute leaders from the past say if they could see this now? Some of these that had some integrity, like Daniel Webster and some of these men, who really did have character about them, if they could see this bunch of goofballs running the country right now, what would they have to say about it? Oh, what a time to live. But by the grace of God, we'll go through it. It's almost over. It won't be long now. The Word tells us, "Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing," we've seen some of that lately, "shall cast down to the earth with the hand." God's hand is mighty. It is mighty to judge. And he says, "the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim," again you could say America, "shall be trodden under feet. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up." In other words, there is a rush to get whatever you can. You know, do you realize how tainted the food is in our land? And of course, a lot of it was sent over here from China. Look at all the pet food that came over from China with all the impurities in it, and all these pets started dying. How about the food that is intended for human consumption? You know, there are many, many ways that people get sick and get dosed. We are living in a time when Satan has been loosed for a little season. I know some people look for that later. Have you ever read in Revelation 20? What happens when Satan is loosed for a little season? I'll tell you what it says. The sign that he's been loosed is he goes throughout the whole world, gathering the nations together to be one. And that's what we're seeing. We have a president right now who has pledged to Israel he will attack Iran before he leaves office. That's 4 months. Well, actually, the rest of this year. We won't have a new president. We'll have a new president-elect in November. And he may not even make it to the Oval Office. I don't know what God is going to do, but something has to give pretty soon. It's that bad. So there is a crown of pride upon the leadership of the people. They walk proudly, arrogantly, in their mission to unify the entire world. "And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit," the first fruit, they grab for it. We read the rest of that verse earlier. They grab for it to eat it up. In other words, there is a sense of speed, a rush to get anything that they can get. "In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto," watch this now, "the residue of his people." Not everything out there that says I'm a Christian is a Christian. There's just a residue left There was a residue in the days of Noah. There was a residue, a remnant in the days of Lot. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. But the Lord is going to be more precious than ever to us as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says, for a diadem of beauty, a crown of glory. Amen. I have great confidence and great hope in the Lord. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Folks, that is us. You know how I know that? Meaning the true Christians, the real, those that have a heart for God. Let me read that verse again for you. And for a spirit of judgment, your ability through God to judge between what is right and wrong. Not everybody can do that. I'm amazed all the time, you know. I know that the other night, Larry King, you know, the news guy on CNN, had Nikki Sixx and these Motley Crue characters on there. Called them, he said, my friends. Here's this guy with his Coke bottle lens glasses and necktie on. He's sitting there as news commentator and talking to these bunch of acid head Satan worshipers and calling them friends. And they're doing this more and more. Oh, there's big news out there. Big news out there. Madonna's going to get a divorce. I want a divorce. Why? Because her husband, I don't know which one she's on or whatever, but because he wants to get out of the Kabbalah. He said, I can't stand the Kabbalah. It's too creepy, weird. But he should have known that going in. But see, these high profile, these movie stars, they're all backing Obama. Oh, all the glamour people. The labor union, AFL-CIO. Oh, we've got 30 million for him, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Oh yeah, they've risen up. These are going to be very interesting, but very treacherous times. But we know, it says, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, because God sits in judgment, he gives us the ability to understand what is right and wrong and why he does what he does. That's why people out there say, well, God would never send a forest fire. God would never send a flood. God would never send a tornado. God would never send an earthquake. The Bible says he does it all the time. Oh, God would never. They're speaking, they're belying the Lord. They're speaking contrary to his will. Sure, the Lord does those things. If he wanted to, he could wipe everything out in this world in a split second of time. But he is calling people to repentance. But notice what it says, that we would be given that spirit of judgment. And see, it's the Lord who does sit in judgment. And it says, for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. You know what that means? That means those that head off the battle right at the gate. Doesn't even get started. They stop it right away. And God's given us the ability to do that. You know, really, the big battleground is our own mind. And you can stop the battle at the gate. Right there. Amen. It's possible. And the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. That means they cannot withstand your attack against them. Have you attacked hell lately? Sometimes it's a struggle because there are backlashes and it's an uphill climb. It's not some easy thing, but we need to be on the attack against the enemy. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. Notice, even the religions which should be following the Bible, they don't. I'll tell you, if there's ever been any religion that has erred through wine, it's been Catholicism. Can you imagine how much a priest can drink in those masses? I've seen some of those chalices. They hold anywhere from a full pint to a full quart. I never could figure that out unless the quart is for high mass. Because you get real high in a high mass, see? Remember the Kennedy funeral? John Kennedy was buried. They had him lying in state under the rotunda, and then they had him in that horse-drawn black wagon there. I actually saw that wagon. I was right in the same room with it when I was in the Capitol. It's in a restricted area. But they took us in there on a special little guided tour. But Kennedy had this big funeral because he had big money, Kennedy family. How did the Kennedys get all that money? Joseph Kennedy, see, when they passed the Prohibition, the 18th Amendment, you could not manufacture any alcohol in this country. It didn't say you couldn't sell it. With a special permit, you could import it. And some of it came in by special permit. Most people don't know that. Who held all the permits? A man by the name of Joseph Kennedy. To this day, even with it repealed, all foreign alcohol, French whiskey, German schnapps, whatever, all alcohol that comes into this country, the Kennedy family gets 5% of the money from all foreign alcohol. That was granted to them. That's what you call a payoff. That's all, you know, you could get rich in a game like that. Not that that family never had any trouble. But you know, it wasn't enough for him. He had to bootleg as well. He had illegal alky cookers. And they never raided his. They got Al Capone, all right, but they never hit Joe Kennedy's. Oh, that terrible Capone and Frank Nitti and all these guys. And you got to get Elliot Ness after them. But what about Joe Kennedy? He was a good Catholic. Illuminist. And never did get him. But you know, the Lord irons all that out in the end, doesn't he?
Amen.
Come on. Do you realize how many lives were destroyed by such things? Do you realize how many lives and families are being destroyed right now by all these illegal operations going on? You know, I look at this world and I say, Lord, get me out of here. Just get me out of here. I know we have a job to do, but don't you get tired of this plowing through this continual deception? If you're really in the battle, you'll know what I'm talking about. As a young minister one time told another one, another older minister that I know, he was just starting out preaching, and he told the older pastor, he said, you know what? He said, I've about had it. He said, I'm so sick of this world. He said, I get in my Bible and really get into the Word, and I look around at this world, and I'm so sick of it. I'm tired of this world. I hate this world. I'm sick of it. The older pastor looked at him and said, there, now you're ready to preach. Now you can do it. Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world. What does the Bible say? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So says the Scripture. And so we know that we can turn that battle away at the very gate. But it says even the religious people are in grave, gross error. Verse 7 says, but they also, notice I said religious. I didn't say true Christian here, I said religious. One of the things I found is that when God saves you, He takes religion away from you. Who needs it? Come on. And He gives us something real. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Interesting, isn't it? They err in vision. They start to drink till they feel single and see double, right? They stumble in judgment. You know, after the Pope got back from New York, he started climbing up those steps to his throne, St. Peter's throne, they call it. And he stumbled right in front of the throne and fell right down to his knees. Was the Lord trying to tell us something there? Is that a sign? And I read this verse, how they stumble in judgment. But you know, people are so pickled in the brine of religion, they would fail to see this without a true revelation and touch from God. It takes divine intervention to be saved. It doesn't take a commitment on your part alone. It's divine intervention. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not that of works, lest any man should boast. But we walk in obedience to that command, and then all is well. How bad is it? The priest, the prophet, they all are in error through their drunkenness. And really, I don't want you to just think that this is ethyl alcohol that is causing them to have their drunkenness. Kind of interesting too, ethanol. Now they want to use it for fuel, and they've admitted it takes as much or more fuel to make it than what it yields. It's all to induce more and more of a food shortage. And besides that, the grains have been examined and they find that they don't have the nutrients in any of the grains anymore. They're nearly 50% less in nutrients. So you say, I'll have a whole wheat should be called half wheat. The nutrients aren't there anymore. They've examined soil. Agronomists throughout the country examine soil. Soil is on average 47% deficient of what it should be to grow anything. One man decided, when he was a little boy, his father had a big pig farm. Now, you can say what you want about that, but what an awful business to be in. But anyway, he had this big pig farm, and he said that his father never fed the pigs anything but corn. And they did fine. They did wonderfully. But then this little boy grew up and he took over the farm. His father eventually passed on. And he had been feeding all this recommended stuff from the feed store and where he was advised and what he was advised to do. And he's feeding him that. And he thought, why don't I just feed him corn? So he tried that. And they started dying. Who ever heard tell of a pig dying from malnutrition? They'd eat like pigs, but there wasn't enough nutrient in it to support the body of the pig, and it started getting sick and they were dying off. That just shows you that the nutrients aren't there anymore. It isn't like it was. I'm so full of good news today, I know. What does that mean? That I got to eat twice as much to get up to the 100% level? Then what happens? You know? Then you blow up like a balloon. Of course, they have diet pills. Or Jenny Craig or whatever have you. And then they'll grind the wheat and they'll make the flour. And they think, people aren't going to like this flour. It's too pale. Just like pale powder, you know. Let's do something cosmetic to it. We'll just put Aloxin on it. We'll spray Aloxin on here. And isn't it amazing? The flour gets snow white. Snow white! And so people buy that. And of course, when you go over to your local fast food choke and puke restaurant and get your... Am I too graphic today? And you get this big old bun, you know, top and bottom, and they put something in between whatever you order, and you eat all that Aloxin, and then your pancreas starts to shut down after a period of time. Because alloxan is the very substance used in the laboratory on rats to shut down their pancreas in diabetic testing. But they'll put it in your food. They've got a lot of insulin to sell. They got a lot of glyburide, a lot of metformin, a lot of that stuff to sell. Who's going to buy it if they don't need it? We've got huge hospitals out there, millions of square feet, massive equipment. But if people aren't going to get sick, you can't run it. How do we make enough people sick so we can prosper that system? Don't think, people, don't think that way. There are those that look at the bottom line, the dollars and cents of it all. That's how corrupt the world is. How bad is it? Those that are drunken are not only drunken from wine, but remember, in a spiritual sense, and this is most important, they have drunken from the cup of Babylon. And who holds the cup of Babylon? The great harlot, the great whore. And because they drank from that cup, meaning all the nations, everybody in power, has corrupted themselves with that false religion sitting in Rome. On the seven hills. You'll see more of that Wednesday night. You'll see how it is. But that is why they are drunken. And may I say disorderly? Hillary Clinton and her supposed opponent, John McCain, were in Japan last year. And they were at some kind of a meeting and they decided, hey, let's have some fun. We'll have a drinking contest. And so they got out this Japanese whiskey, this sake, whatever you want to call it. They started drinking it to see who was going to fall under the table first. And John McCain said that Hillary, he had never seen anybody drink like Hillary. Now this is in the regular, this isn't off some National Enquirer. This was in a regular news media. I think it was either AP or Reuters. Those are two I look at the most. But he did make the statement that Hillary was wonderful. She was just like one of the boys. So now you got those two. Talk, you know, to drink, you don't just pick up a bottle and start drinking first time like that. We got a bunch of boozers in there. And cocaine heads, all right? Now, verse 8 says, "For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean." Where do you look anymore to find something clean? Now it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts." You know what that means? Who's going to understand true doctrine? Who will in a world like this? The answer is you've got to be born again. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. You have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, John 3:5. Then, and only then, will you be able to get out of that system and into the realm of the peace of God that passes all understanding. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. This is something where you have to go back to square one, start all over, be born again, and then learn the Word of God. You have to forget about all the other teachings you had, indoctrination, and start over with the Bible. And then something happens here with all of this. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." Wow. What could that possibly be? Now, this is not talking about Rodney Howard Brown and one of these false revivals. We got one going on in Florida with this weirdo with pierced jewelry through his flesh and all this, and he's zapping people down and knocking them over. And that's all counterfeit. There's no question about it. But for something to be counterfeited, you have to have something genuine to counterfeit, right? And the devil knows full well the power of God when it truly comes upon people. But all within the new birth process, it says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest.'" So says the Word of God. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." He said to the Hebrews, "Wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Yet, notice, what's the reaction? They would not hear. Now, watch the word there. It doesn't say they could not hear. God called them now. They could hear, but they would not hear. Oh, we don't want that. Oh yeah, you can talk about conversion, talk about repentance, but receiving the Holy Ghost, oh, better get out of here. We don't want. You ever run into that? Yet they would not hear. Would not. Chose to not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. So they heard it. They were listening. But they stopped short. Watch what happens. "That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." Do you ever see in all these false meetings, these charismaniac meetings, they'll have people going over and whooshing them down. And Benny Hinn, he'll put his hand on their forehead, push them. Or on the sternum and just push them. Well, sure, if you push anybody hard enough, they'll go down. There's no miracle in that. But then something takes over. They come up there and they get something. Something happens to them. And they lay there like they're having an epileptic seizure. My Bible tells me when you are one of those that goes and falls down backward, that's a sign that you're broken, snared, and taken. Something else has got you. You need to pay attention to the true Holy Ghost and not look for wildfire sensationalism, usually accompanied by dispensationalism and Schofieldism. "Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said..." What goes on in their minds, the mind of these leaders? Now I realize that when you see them at their best. Remember when Hillary came out right after Bill Clinton was elected for the first time? And she presented this health care package. That if this happens to you, Bill was reading it off, you're covered. You're covered. You're covered. You're covered. From the cradle to the grave, he said, you're covered. What do they do? They put you in a grave? You're covered. Huh? Right? He kept saying that. You're covered, you're covered, you're covered, you're covered, you're covered, you're covered. We'll cover all the testing that they do, all the medicine that they give, all the probing and diagnostic things and brain waves and everything that run you through there like a laboratory rat. Rivaling the Nazis during World War II. Cover, it's a cover-up, all right, and they cover you up. Remember, doctors bury their mistakes. They do. Well, they get an undertaker to do it for them, but it's all part of the game, right? See, and we have to fight this because this society that we have is doing everything they can, the leaders of it, to make us sick. So that we're on the pill, on the needle, on something. Everybody's got to be on something, right? Did you not? No, we don't. I'm being facetious there. We don't. But that's the way they think about it. Did you know that of all people who are 65 and over, the average for people 65 and over are they on 5 different medications? Well, that's what they tell us. It's probably, I'm talking about prescription, of course there's other things too that they use. Remember, over-the-counter stuff is a lot of times at one time had been prescription in a lot of cases. But anyway, people are on this, they want you on a leash. They want to make sure you get to the grave as soon as possible. They don't want to have to pay you Social Security, at least not for long. You become a useless eater, as Hitler said, as Stalin said, and so forth. And so the Lord is speaking here. Here's how they think. In verse 15, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. Oh, they got a new one now. They talked about, you know, they're pushing cremation because that's more healthy for Mother Earth. They want to burn everybody up. Now they said they got a new one they're offering. They're willing to take your body and soak it in lye until it dissolves. Then it can just be flushed down the drain. Talk about human bodies liquefied and flushed down the drain. Bones and all. Everything gets... Isn't that morbid? But that's what they're saying now. There's one woman from one of our universities, spokesperson from there, she said, give your body to science. So we can, you can help all these others. We'll do all this experimentation on your body, and then in return for you giving your body to science, we will give you a free cremation. Come one, come all. Huh? You know, where do you go with this? There's so much of that out there. But they have made a covenant with death, it says, and with hell. It says, are we at agreement? There's a conspiracy with hell, with death. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through it, shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. They feel like they have got such a system built up that nothing can penetrate it. They've got so much cooperation from so many people that nothing could ever bring them down. That's the way they think. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line. In other words, you're going to be at peace with God. And righteousness to the plummet. In other words, when God comes back, He's going to measure things by His standards. Now, looking around you at the current world, if you measure this by God's standards, what do you come up with? All right, I think we know. And it's going to be something in that day when the sky bursts open and fills with angels. The Bible says, actually the German Bible, I like to read the German Bible occasionally, and it says, mit heulen und zähneklappen, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. None can withstand the judgment of God. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night. You know what that tells me? Yes, there's a final judgment. And one day, bang, there it is. But until then, there's a gradual one moving forward and moving forward. Judgment of God, from morning till night. It says it right here. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night. And how bad will it get? And it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Even to hear about it. See, a lot of people wouldn't like to hear what I'm saying this morning. I've had people listen to messages like this and say, he's nuts. And then they try to ignore it. But you know what's going to happen? All I'm saying is what the Bible says. That's why if I didn't have this to go by, and I was just speaking from my own mind, then somebody could say that. But I'm just giving the Word of God here. As a matter of fact, there's nothing they can do to get comfortable about it. When judgment starts to come, and it has, the flooding, the fires, volcanoes, earthquakes, you name it, everything on the increase. And he says they can't get comfortable with that report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. Now, wouldn't that be uncomfortable? A cold winter night, you know, and wind blowing through the walls, and it's cold, and you try to lay down the bed, you can't stretch out. You got to kind of curl up, you know. Bed's too short. The covering, maybe all you got is a little baby blanket. It doesn't quite go all the way around, you know. And you pull it this way, and you pull it that way. Anybody ever have a blanket like that? I don't know. I have. When I was young, we didn't have much money. I didn't have my own bedroom. I had a couch I had to sleep on. We didn't have a furnace. We had an old oil burner, and I used to lay the blanket. I had a baby blanket. Lay it on there and get it hot. Lay it on the couch, cold night, because it was cold, 20 below zero sometimes, 30 below zero. I had that little baby blanket. I can relate to this verse. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. What would he do? Well, it says, now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your hands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. God said a consumption would come on the earth. By the way, Wall Street's in bad trouble, and England is complaining about it. And the Royal Bank of Scotland has issued an alert of an impending depression for the United States. They're not telling you that over here, but they see it from over there. Now it's been announced that within the next couple of months, a barrel of oil will go up to 170. That came out on the news this morning. It'll hit 200. They already determined that. And at the pump, you'll be paying a minimum of $7. A consumption upon the earth. You might say, but it's man-made. Yeah, but see, they're building a trap and they're going to destroy themselves in it. God is going to turn everything against them. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and gather the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel, and excellent in working. What does all that mean? He's using an analogy here. I've only got a couple of minutes to do this. In John chapter 12, Jesus referred to this very incident, which Isaiah called his strange work, his strange act. In John 12, if you go down to verse 23, it says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." See, Jesus lived in a hostile environment too. He understands what we go through. He went on and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Remember the analogy Isaiah used? What's so strange about this? He's saying a farmer has to go and plant the seed. The seed does him no good unless it's planted, and then it begins to grow. And of course, Paul mentioned that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How if it dies in the ground, it grows forth and brings forth a new plant. Speaking of the resurrection. But there's something else about the grain here. That it has to be ground, pounded, bruised, crushed, in order for the benefits of it all to come out. And he's using this analogy here. Jesus was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted beyond anything we could ever imagine. When you think of what he did for you, can we then doubt him that he would help us now? Stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, bruised. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That was Isaiah 53:5. 1 Peter 2:24 says basically the same thing. But there was that bruising, that pounding, that sacrifice, as that corn of wheat, as he referred to here, meaning he himself had died and was put into the, after he was beaten and bruised, put into the grave. He came forth victorious. And then you go on and you read about it. And he says, we likewise, because of the time we're living in, will have our share of bruises and troubles. As Job said, man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. But by his grace, because of the one who went before us, we will draw upon his strength to overcome. And in obedience to the gospel, all will be well. And I believe it. And I hope you do too. But he said we must be born again. And a true Christian understands the world is against us. But the world needs to understand we're against the world. And if you're a friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. There is victory in the Holy Ghost, in the obedience to the gospel. And the Lord's going to get us from here to there. I know this is a tough message. It's been hard for me. But I didn't come here to entertain anybody. There's something the Lord put on my heart. And these verses and this chapter need to resonate within our hearts, always. We're in the last days. We are end time Christians. It's different than any other time. It will not be long until he appears in the sky and the trumpet sounds. And the sky is filled with angels. And as we read in the scripture, the people of God cry out, Lord, save us from the heathen. And he did, and he will. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we're so thankful, O God, that we could read thy word and hear it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now, Lord, I pray that it would be dear to our hearts and work effectually and mightily within us. Without thee, Lord, we can do nothing, but with thy help, all things are possible. Help us to believe thee for all things. And, O Lord, I pray that the great cleansing power of thy Spirit and of the blood of Jesus would sweep over every soul. O Lord, that thou wouldst wash us and cleanse us in righteousness because of thy great sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. That thou wouldst be merciful and gracious to all of us, thy people, for we stand in need of thee. And now bless the remainder of this service as we go into this time of obedience to the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.